Bonnie Faith, and you are now tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is CJ Sway, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is Perry, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
Hey, this is Kula Von Seal, also known as Queen Kong, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live. Come get some, baby.
Welcome to Life That Does Live, everybody. I guess I'm in an extra goofy mood. And no, I'm not. It's not because I'm high or something. Y'all just know me, man. Y'all been listening to the show for a while. Y'all know I go into these random modes. And sometimes they're continuing from what I was doing before the show. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now. But you are listening to, of course, Life That Does Live. I am your boy, Teddy J. My co-host with the most is Nate. Should be checking in that moment. So, yes, we're excited, man. Another beautiful Wednesday. This is the last Wednesday of the month. Man, I'm telling y'all something, man. It's been a great month for interviews. Y'all been killing it, man. Killing it. Can we just give some love to those lovely people that came to the show, please? Can we? Thank you. Y'all knew that was me stalling to press my button, little magic button. But and nonetheless, man, glad to be here. You guys always make my week so magical. So a lot to talk about. We've been having some wonderful guests this entire month, so today is gonna be no different. We got my boy, comedian Stevie Mack coming through, which I don't even want to call him comedian Stevie Mack anymore, because he just does so much. Man is a mogul. He is a mogul, man. He changed his name to Mogul Stevie Mack. He's a man. He's not only a comedian, he's an actor, and he's a producer, director. He's just an artist all around, so. And he also does some magic every now and then, too, so. He's just a dope person, man. He has been a show in a while, and so I wanted to bring. Sometimes, like this all the time, people ask me, "Man, do you interview people again on your show?" You gotta be good as hell for you to be on the show multiple times, man. And as y'all, if you go through my show's history, you see I don't interview a lot of people more than once because it gotta be that intriguing to me, and it has to have and it's not just even just me, like. A lot of times I pay just how you listeners are. A lot of times I can tell if I'm not intrigued, sometimes I don't find it intriguing either. Because if I'm not intrigued, it comes off that way. So definitely am glad, whenever I bring someone back through, because they definitely killed it the first time. So, or there are some rare cases where I give people a chance to redeem themselves. But nonetheless, Stevie Mack will be checking in, so I cannot wait for that. Cannot wait to talk to my industry uncle, as I call him. So yeah, man, excited, man. Y'all, he's just dope, man. He's a dope personality, and he gonna make you laugh, of course. So of course, it will not be a show with Stevie Mack without a little bit of comedy thrown in there. I'll let you guys know what's on the segment menu for today. We got catch up, which we are catching up with you now. We got the six, which the six is a weekly list of six items based on a particular topic for the week. We got Seduction 101. That's brought to you by Nay Seduction. And it's a grab bag of topics that she brings forth and covers anything from life, love, sex, and more. So, yes, and then. And we end that off with our last segment, which is known as Crickets of the Week, where we recognize the worst or dumbest person or group of people over the past week. So, yes, lots to dissect. So something to catch you guys up here during that catch up. I told you guys we get ready to drop the issue for Healing Canvas, the infamous 6th anniversary issue. Well, that'll be dropping. Looking at dropping it next Friday. So y'all stay tuned for that. It's gonna be dope. Very dope concept. Very, very pinned up. Lots of pinned up vibes to it. And that's a perfect segue to my next point, which is where I'll be celebrating my birthday this Sunday. I'll be celebrating my birthday at Pinot's Cabaret. I'm excited because I love it when, you know, you work with the club and they value you so much, they show you so much love, and they're rolling out a lot of stuff for me. So I'm excited, man. I mean, hell, just being there with the anything of any, even on a smaller scale, was dope to me. Just, you know, just heck, I would just been cool just be able to say, hey, I'm doing my birthday here. The fact they didn't have turned something even much more celebratory, I'm excited, man. Oh my goodness. So yeah. Something that Nate will be in later on in the show. Okay. So yeah, so we're gonna go into a music break. We'll be back after this. Where do I want to take this with my boy Stevie Mac? Give him proper welcome. Let's throw on Q Harper, man. Let's do it.
Say, hey, baby. Can I talk for a minute? Say, baby. You know what I'm saying?
fever in me will melt these sheets. My temperature's 110, and the burning in you will melt this room. It's a hunger that we both can't tame. I'm thinking, yes.
All right, welcome back to Life That Does Live. Your boy, Ceddy J, one half of the dynamic duo. My girl, Nate, will be calling in later on the show, thankfully, so I can give her a hard time. But nonetheless, we got the men of the hour, or, you know, part of this hour and part of next hour. Welcome to the show. One of the greatest, greatest, greatest people to bless the entertainment industry. Through his comedy, through his acting, and through his acting of food. Welcome to the show. For the second time, my boy, comedian Stevie Mack. What's up, boss?
Yeah, round of applause, dude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all you in the studio here applauding. I see you sitting over there. Yeah, you got a studio full of people. Man, where you get all these people from?
Man, you know, I had to promise them I give them some food stamps. Man, they say, oh, you give them not food stamps? I'm gonna show up then. It was either food stamps or I could
like
give them some. I was gonna give them some Popeyes chicken sandwich coupons, but they ran out of chicken sandwiches, so I had to do the next best thing.
You could have faked it and just got some chicken tenders and put some Hawaiian buns on it and told them it was chicken sandwich. Because that's all it really is. This whole chicken sandwich craze, man. I ain't never seen folks lose a cotton picking mind like they have over. Like they ain't never had a chicken sandwich. I mean, Popeyes really got over this time, didn't they?
Yeah,
they really
like,
scored a big one right there.
Yeah, what cracked me up was, like, people are, like, really trying to start this whole war of Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A. I'm like, okay, so I started weighing my options. I'm like, wait, so let's figure this out. So I can go to Popeyes, I can get this supposed chicken sandwich that tastes better than Chick-fil-A's, but I'm going to get them Popeyes attitudes. Oh, I can go to Chick-fil-A, which they have, their chicken is on point to me, but that's nonetheless. I can go there, and I get treated like I'm a prince. I mean, you go to Chick-fil-A, it's like God hired these people. Like, seriously, like, what is going on? Like, they're always so nice to you. They're like, it's my pleasure. Oh, you want more barbecue sauce? Sure. How many do you want? We'll give you 20 if you want it.
You're like, oh,
right, you go to McDonald's, 25 cents per extra sauce, sir. You know, I ain't got time for that. Like,
so wait a minute.
Y'all got this old basic sauce charging me.
Are these black people at all the establishments, including Chick-fil-A? These are all black people? Black people at all the establishments. You know, I don't want to hear that there's black people at the rude establishment, and then there's another race at the Please don't
you
tell
know
me
what?
That shit.
There's a lot of crazy thing. There's a lot of black people that work at these Chick-fil-A's over here by me. And
oh,
nice.
Oh,
it's
good.
Like,
good.
Yeah, it's like, it's beautiful. It's like, okay, it's like, it's so different. I'm like, we're actually good at customer service.
Well, I think it all comes down to their hiring policy. Chick-fil-A got a we'll fire your ass at the crack of dawn policy. Or the other places, you gotta rob the place, knock the windows out to get fired. You know, you gotta do something outlandish. At Chick-fil-A, if you just say one wrong word, your ass is out. So, you know, that's why Popeyes and McDonald's, you got to go to extreme. Have you seen some of the videos online? People jumping through the windows fighting?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
McDonald's and Popeyes? Yeah. You don't see that at Chick-fil-A, huh? You don't see people fighting like that with sticks and mops.
I'm telling you, man. Chick, God, hire, I'm telling you. I really think they got angels working at Chick-fil-A, man. They got some angels there, I'm telling you.
Well, you know who wins in the end, man. Who wins in the end is the person who owns the franchises because none of us win. All we get is diabetes and high blood pressure from all that stuff. So
exactly. That's why I'm laughing. I'm like, why are we doing that? Why are we going? I was like, go home and make your own chicken sandwich. Good.
Well, this is
goodness.
What happened. This is what happened, Steady. I'm going to tell you what happened. Popeye's been had chicken sandwiches, but all they needed was one brother, you know, lip smacking, greased up on a video moaning to sell more sandwiches. Remember Patti LaBelle had her pies? All she needed was that one dude. Oh, and I tell you. Her pie sold out. You know, all you need is one brother. So if you want to sell something,
I ain't gonna lie though.
Singing about it.
I ain't gonna lie. That patty pie gimmick worked on me.
What they gave you the runs?
I had plenty of runs. Like, I went to the restroom. I had the runs, and I was doing Patti LaBelle runs all at the same time.
Don't lie, Sadie. You went out in the back of the building. You couldn't even make it to the restroom. Sadie went out behind the building and painted the wall. That was gross. That whole visual.
Oh my goodness.
That whole visual was gross right there. So
but
you
know
man?
What? At least her pies were actually good. Popeye's sandwiches overrated.
So did you get one?
It's overrated. All you're doing is using King's Hawaiian bun. And using Popeye's chicken. I mean, Popeye's chicken is okay, but it ain't worth fighting nobody about.
So you did get one.
Yeah, it's not all that to me.
Did you stand in line to get one? That's what I was
saying. No, somebody got me. Let's see, this before all the crazy crap happened.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so I was before all the viral craze happened. I already had what I. That's why I'm laughing at people. I'm like, man, y'all are crazy. This stuff been out for so long.
All right, it's been out. Ain't nothing new.
Why are we always at crazy for chicken? Ooh, I love me some chicken.
Black folks, man, we love chicken. We have a predisposition for chicken. We're predisposed for chicken. Don't put no chicken and watermelon. It's going to be a stabbing.
let me not front. I'm over here talking about chicken. I just ate these because, you know, there's one spot got a wing special. It's a mom and pop spot.
Man, I love
those wings. People
try to make us feel bad about eating chicken and watermelon. Man, that's some of the most delicious stuff on the planet, right? fried chicken on them and.
I don't feel too bad about it because I kid you not, I went to a Walmart one time and it was mad white people that were buying watermelon. I'm like,
That's why they want to make
either
you feel
a,
bad about
they
it.
They eat it themselves, or B, they got something. They got a get out situation going on where they got a bunch. They got a bunch of us hiding over there, and we over here eating. I remember, Master, when you used to bring me down watermelons.
They want you to look. They want you to feel bad about it so they can eat it all up.
Exactly.
You gotta eat
it. Like you can't eat chicken. It's like, why is it that? It's something about watermelon and chicken. When you eat them in front of people, you eat them different than how you would when no one's around you. It's all about, it's a certain way you eat them. You can't be,
yeah.
You know, when you eat chicken when you by yourself, you're like all in it. You get the, you go to the bottom of the bone and get the meat off. When you all out in front of people, you all quaint and stuff. You got a napkin around your neck.
That. I didn't think about that. Last time I was eating chicken and somebody was around me, I was thinking to myself, should I eat all the meat off this bone or should I leave?
Yes.
And if I'm eating watermelon around other people, I eat it with a fork and knife.
Fork, yeah. You take your time. You don't mean like you like when you eat it by yourself. You eat all in the green part, try to get the extra juice off. You
no,
try to get
I
all the juice
part.
Off.
I don't do that part. See. That's just you.
I gotta get it all, man. Like I paid for this. I do what I gotta do.
Instead of getting all his watermelon,
we're getting all of them.
Yeah. So what was the last time I was on your show, man?
Man, last time you were on, okay, because you know I like to play this game called Let's Go Searching. Let's search where you were. So it was at least it was five. No, 6 years ago.
Holy smokes. Now, how many episodes have you done so far?
Let me see. I got some track other shows that have been on here. So, it'll be around 1,200.
Oh, check you out trying to catch up with me. I know. 1,580 shows. In the years that I was doing my show. And I got to tell you, quite frankly, once I reached show number 1,500, I started saying, okay, I'll tell you what it was. One night I was sitting up at home and my wife goes, hey, isn't it time for your show? I went, oh, yeah, the show. That's when I knew it was time to stop.
It's time to go,
Because I lost interest. It was like, but now I'm going to return, but I'm not going to call it Stevie Mac Radio. I'm going to call it the Stevie Mac Podcast because the word podcast got popular again. I remember when we first started doing these shows, everybody wanted the word radio in their title because terrestrial radio, you want to be associated with radio. Just like everybody who's doing anything visual wants to be associated with TV, right? Such and such TV show. Even if it's just on YouTube, you call it something TV. Because we all know that that's the most popular thing and we want to be associated with that. So now podcast, the word podcast has become popular. One thing about you, though, you've always called your show Life After Dusk. But before it was Life After Dusk, it was Steady J's. Has it always been Life After Dusk or was it Dusk Time Radio?
Yeah, so,
what was his first name?
So where it was always Life After Dusk live. But what I did was because I had other shows on here, I made it to where the conglomerate was Dust Fire Radio Network. But then
that's
I just started doing this my show. Yep, I started doing this my show. I was like, you know what? I'm
that's
moving back to this Life After Dusk Live completely.
Yeah.
Because I like
Dust
that because it can go,
radio.
It doesn't have radio to it, and it doesn't have podcast. It can go both ways. So I like it that way.
That's cool,
why I rebranded the whole logo recently. The whole brand new rebranding of the logo and stuff just happened last month because of that reason.
And you know, as long as you keep reinventing yourself, that's the way to keep moving ahead. Because if you get stuck in a rut and be the same old all the time, you know, it loses its spunk. You gotta keep moving and changing and evolving, and that's what you're doing. I commend you for that.
Yeah, you know what they say, you get stuck in the rut.
What you
get stuck in a rut, you get stuff in your butt.
Well, I don't know about that part.
No, that's I'm sorry. That's what they. That's a prison saying.
I ain't never had that problem. I get stuck in a rut. I get the hell out of it. Stuff in your butt. Usually, what you just gonna be in a rut with your ass wide open, waiting for something to happen? I get stuck in a rut. I get the hell
ain't
out
nobody
of
got
it.
Time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yes. Oh man, but. Yeah, so I mean, a lot of stuff I've been watching. Of course, you know, the brand awareness has gotten so much bigger. Like, for instance, now you're doing the Stevie Mag live experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us more about that,
yeah,
man, because we, you know, that's grown so much bigger now.
Well, the Stevie Mag show basically was first an idea for me to shoot that, which I did. I shot 4 episodes in a live studio in Orange County. Out here in L.A., had an audience and everything. And it was like the late-night TV format. So, like, you know, desk, and then my guest comes sit next to the desk, and I had a musical guest. They stand up and perform over there with by the DJ. That whole format, you know. So that worked then. But when I started doing my show in Leimert Park live, I'm the longest-running host in Leimert Park, comedy host. I've been producing shows in Leimert Park in Los Angeles, California, since 1992. Some type of show. And I performed it every... Okay. Yeah, I'll let that happen. Okay. And I performed at every venue in Leimert Park. And for the last 8 years, I've been doing the Stevie Mac show, which is in conjunction with the Leimert Park Art Walk. So the last Sunday of every month is a big art walk. And a lot's happening there, man, during that time. A lot of people are starting to pay attention because the Metro Rail is building a stop there now down Crenshaw. So, anywho, my show, it's been evolving. So it started out as just a stand-up show, me doing stand-up and bringing up other comics. And then I brought on the Hot Minute segment, bringing on new talent, so amateurs, you know. Then I started teaching comedy through Airbnb. So I'm the comedy guru. If you look on Airbnb experiences, Stevie Mac comedy guru, I teach people comedy for 1 hour, and then I put them on stage at the Stevie Mac show immediately after class. That's been working. I had students from all over the world. So what's happening now is I changed the format of my show again. Check this format out. So this format now is it's like a talk show, but it's 2 director's chairs on stage, and then the guests, the comic guests, I have a live band, the Mac Steady Band, they're behind me, playing, I sing with them, we did a Chic and Rapper Delight mashup, you know, happy days are here again, good times, you know, that song with the, hop, the hip, you don't stop rocking, yeah, and people could check it all out at the Stevie Mac show, on YouTube under Comedian Stevie Mac. If you just Google the Stevie Mac show, I'm pretty sure the videos will come up because you know how we do our search engine optimization, man. I got to make sure you know how to find me. I ain't hard to find, player. So the comedian sits next to me. We do a couple of interview questions, and they do their comedy sitting next to me. And then I leave the stage, and then they do their comedy standing up. So it's very different. So while I'm sitting next to them, I get to improv with them and their comedy. And all this is live streamed. So it's all live streamed live onto Facebook live stream. And so that's the format now. I'm meeting with a producer next month. He wants to do something, and he works, I can't say too much right now, but he's like a big producer in the industry. And maybe we'll take this to the next level, to Comedy Central or some other channel like that. But this is a good start with that. You know, you just do what you do, and you keep doing it, and keep changing it and evolving until you get – it's like cooking, right? You get the recipe. You get the right recipe, and you go like, yeah, this is it right here. And like the Popeye chicken sandwich, and everybody starts flocking and beating their mama down to get to it. So that's what I'm doing right now with the Stevie Mac show is I'm evolving it so that it becomes better and better and better. While at the same time, at the end of the show, you know, I still have the Hot Minute. So individuals get to come who are amateurs and people who also come as students to learn comedy. So it's really unique mix there, Teddy. Teddy J.
For me. Okay, but because you called me Teddy, I had to go my Teddy Riley mode. But no, it's crazy. See, just how you know you're a pro's pro, because I just like, and people don't realize I'm always looking at stuff. A lot of times, my guests, even on the, that's what I love about social media, because sometimes themes can be happening right at that moment, right before you do the show. And you brought the Airbnb thing. I was going to bring it up. I was like, man, I was talking to him on the phone. And I was like, oh, man, my guest tonight, man, I see he's in the he's teaching comedy now. Oh, man, I got another talking point with him. So it's great to see that you're doing that, man. Like, is that the best? Like, someone said this best. They said, you know you're a master at something when you're able to teach others how to do it yourself.
This is true. This is true. And you get better at it when you're teaching, because it reinforces what you already know. And also you learn new stuff, because it comes from a higher source. It comes from God. It comes from God on high.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Also, because you're talking about reinvention. So there's, like, you see him sprinkled around in some of my videos and whatnot, but he actually makes appearances here on the show time to time. There's a character, Reverend Feel So Good, who comes to the show. He's something else. Reverend Feel So Good. He always, like, his problem is he always was, like, he's one of them pastors that's trying to fit in too much. Like, he still got those old pimp ways, but he also, he loves a lot of, he loves a lot of hip hop. And so he's always trying to mix hip hop lyrics into his sermons, and he just there's something wrong with him, man. I'm like, dude, you got to sit down somewhere. So yes, Reverend Phillips So Good he is crazy.
That's a good thing, man. You're doing a damn thing. That's what's up. As long as you keep doing it and keep evolving and making things happen, Captain, it's gonna be alright.
And I want to thank you, because on the air, I hadn't had a chance to thank you on the air in a while, but I want to thank you, because I remember, man, it was about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I did. It was a talent show they had at my job, and they were actually. I was trying to think what I was going to do, and I was like, you know what? Everyone's going to do singing. Everyone's going to dance. Someone's going to do this. Somebody's going to make fart noises or something. I'm like, I'm stand up comedy. So. I decided to go about it, and I remember you gave me some tips to going into it, and you said, just remember, just be yourself, and you kind of gave me ideas on how to go about, because that's the thing, people realize, you just go up and just do jokes, but if you want structure, you got to write some of your stuff, and so that was the beauty. You know, I kind of taught myself to write, and it came like, because of having that, I had the structure, but I gave myself room to wiggle. And people loved it. Like, it's crazy. People still quote jokes I said 4 years ago to my face now.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow.
Isn't that great?
It's like crazy. Yeah.
And that's
so,
what I tell my students too, man. The main thing to remember is to have fun, because when you forget to have fun, you take yourself too serious, and then you start judging yourself. And you get frustrated and you clam up. But if you remember, hey, I'm here to have fun, then everything will be all right, because that's what it's really about. You're there. My job as a comedian, for me, you know, we live in a different era, setting, and there's different types of comedians, you know. And some, I'm going to kill. I'm going to murder the stage. And you know, that's their goal. My goal is to go and make somebody else have a good time and to change their perspective. If they was feeling bad, they might be thinking about committing suicide or killing or shooting up a mall. And if I could change their mind with some humor, then I've done my job. You know, my job is to lighten your load, make you feel better about life, as opposed to leaving my show or my presence feeling worse about life. So, yeah, it's a gift. It can be a gift.
It works pretty good for me, too. Like, I'm like, if people are feeling bad, all they got to do is look at my face, and then you go, you know what? Life isn't that bad for me.
You're saying your face make people feel better about themselves.
Yeah, it is like, you know what? That guy has an interesting face. If he can live like great, then maybe I can too.
Oh, you said interesting face. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it, interesting.
Yeah, he's doing a damn thing. And remember, the key to radio is no dead space. There should never be any dead space on radio, because the listeners, I listened to one of your shows, you and Nate was talking, and you played the crickets, you know? It doesn't hit the cricket button, Teddy.
Hit them crickets, like this, Okay, here we go.
Yeah, there should be no dead space. Whenever you just keep talking no matter what. Now, I was saying before, I'm going to switch lanes now and tell you your boy just shot his 44th, get ready to hit the applause button, his 44th mm-hmm. TV commercial. Yay, yay!
Oh, I was half off. I said earlier, I was like, oh, he got, I was so off. I said 20-something. Oh, my goodness.
That's how long it's been since we talked, you know, right?
I like this was way more. I was on the phone call I was on earlier. I was like, really talking about, man, this dude like it's crazy. Especially like the one I think like a lot of you have seen is like viral, the Planet Fitness commercial.
Yeah,
oh man.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's like, no. Who's the dude pop locking? I was like, man, I know him, and I felt all cool, like, yeah, man, I know him.
You know what a lot of people recognize me from, man? The Justin Timberlake music video.
Yeah.
Can't Stop the Feeling. Yeah. People go, oh, man. So they'll send me stuff like text messages with pictures of me in it. They're like, I was in Japan in a bar, and guess who came on the screen, on the TV screen? I'm shooting pool in Alabama. People all over the world, you know, see that and remind me that thing got over a billion views on YouTube. And that put my face out there a whole lot right there. But this last commercial I just shot is for ESPN, so that'll be coming out for football season. You'll see that one.
Oh,
and I did
man,
one
I'm
just
excited.
Before that for Walmart. So if you see me in a Walmart commercial slamming a football in the store and squash and juggling fruit and all that stuff, that'll be another one. Yeah.
So that's a great segue question. So basically, like, how do you, because you've done, you know, you said this is like your 44th commercial, how do you come that same energy, being just as excited? Like, I know you said like T2 is having fun, but any more like elements that go into you being so, you know, can't bring that same consistent energy in all these commercials?
Well, each one is different. Some commercials want you to be real subtle. They don't want all that energy. And some want you to be real energetic. It's really about acting, knowing what to do for any given spot. I'm a natural actor, but at the same time, I have went to some workshops at SAG, Screen Actors Guild, recently, and learned some other things that I didn't know before, but that some of the stuff I was already doing. So just knowing what to bring to a particular character when you're in that audition room, you know. So when you go to audition for a character, does that character have a backstory, or is that character just a bus driver? And if he is a bus driver, what is he doing? So that's what is different for each one that I do. And I go dressed fully for the part. If I'm going for a part of a cop, I show up fully dressed with all the stuff, and so much so that people be asking me, like, on the way to the audition, hey, officer, I'm not a real cop. I'm just going to different audition. Yeah.
You walk with a donut in your hand, eating a donut and all that good stuff. Oh, my goodness.
I went for one audition recently, and it was for a plumber, right? And so I was dressed so much like a plumber that when I showed up, they were like, yeah, the toilet stopped up right over here, sir. I was like, I'm here for an audition. They were like, oh, and guess what I did? After that, I went and fixed the toilet anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
I had my tools, and plus, you know, I know how to fix a toilet, so I fixed it anyway. Why not? Maybe that'll help me get the job.
I'm just trying to make sure that was an actual toilet situation and not someone trying to hire you for a different type of film.
Oh, like a what, a porno?
Yeah, like
I'm a plumber. Oh, mister,
I have leaky tights.
Yeah, no. Well,
big
girl, Miss Smith, I'm coming to lay a couple for you right now.
That would be a white porno. You know, black pornos ain't like that. Black pornos, they start having sex right when the camera come on. As soon as the credits stop rolling, like it comes up from black, so the director goes, "All right."
No, you know what? They got much better. They give you 10 seconds of commentary before they just go right in. Yeah.
Nah, they don't. They like,
come
when
in,
I
girl.
Hear action, I want everybody to start humping.
It's like, when I yell action, I mean action.
Yeah. I want y'all to start humping. Don't even wait for nothing else. Yeah, that's a black porno for you. As soon as it come on screen, they ain't even said nothing. It's just like straight into it, you know?
And you know what? They don't really say it. They don't really demean each other as much. In a white porno, my dirty little slut.
Yeah, I'm your dirty little slut. Yeah.
Just all day. They just say demeaning things to each other the entire porn.
Now, black porno ain't like that. Black porno more like, who's your daddy, huh? Who's your daddy? Who drives a caddy? Who's got a fatty, huh? Who wears a big hattie? Yeah. That's a black
like
porno.
Like that, huh? Come on. Yeah. Turn back around.
I got my mind made up. Come on. You can get it. Get it, girl. Anytime. Let's start rapping on black porno. Tonight is fine.
Oh man, y'all know that was not fake laughing.
You are tuned into Steady J's Life After Dusk. This is your boy TV Mac. We're doing it up live like that. We chop it up all the time, baby. Getting down.
Get down
like we always do.
Okay. Oh, goodness, man. That's why people understand why I always tell them, I'm like, because I know sometimes people are like, oh, here comes Steady again saying, oh, how much he loves Stevie Mac. But I don't think people get it, man. Like, it's one thing to, you see these comics all the time, and, like, they're great comics. But the fact that you see, like, something behind the scenes, because you've dealt with them, listen to the podcast, and then seen something stand up. It's crazy watching this all unfold because you see, like, especially just having a regular conversation, you see it just naturally happens, and it's crazy. That's why, I like, for me, I guess it's why I'm even more in tune, and I'm like, oh, but, like, and the thing is, you know, I kind of, like, by watching you, I see a test of it to really, like, how some of these, how different actors and comedians are as far as their past. And I was, like, thinking this other day, I was like, man, what was my favorite commercial? I'm going to have to say, I think it was Jardiance.
Oh, the Jardiance,
Oh, man, the Jardiance commercial, I laugh at all the time. Like, you on the treadmill, and all of a sudden.
On the weight,
every
on the weight
time
machine.
That came on, I was crying. I was like, what the heck, man?
that was a big one, too. That went all over the world, man. People saw that all over the world. Dude in China told me he saw it over there. He was overseas in China and saw that. That's a good thing.
And of course, you're on the show on Bounce TV.
Oh, In the Cut, yeah. Episode of In the Cut, season five, episode six. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is great, man. Like, as far as, like, having a career that's been spending for so long, like, how do you remain, well, I guess as sane as you possibly can, how do you remain that being to such a humble space and able to just stay positive for most folks?
Well, you got to have a balance, you know. A lot of people don't have a balance, man. You got to stay centered. You got to have God in your life, and you got to have a family and surround yourself with positive people. Lay the gator for all them negative people, man. They come a dime a dozen, and the sharks who come out just want to they want to jump on the bandwagon when the getting's good. Call them fair weather friends, right? Stay away from them people. Hang out with people who like you for you, and take time to meditate, relax, pray, and exercise. All that stuff has to come in. No ripping and running. Get your rest, you know. And I'm saying this because I'm a little mature now, you know. I'll be 56 this year, but if you looked at me, you would think I was 30 because of the way I look. I keep myself young looking, especially for Hollywood, man. One thing about men in Hollywood, men can be action stars into their 70s. I don't know if you noticed it or not. Schwarzenegger, Stallone, all these guys still blowing stuff up and running and jumping. Of course, they got stunt doubles, but if you keep yourself good, keep your body in shape, and keep your health up, you could last a long time. But also, I don't be going to parties. I don't be showing up just to show up. For instance, they had a rap party for a TV show and for a movie I just did, right? Two different parties. Right. This is what I do. I show up at the party. I get on the red carpet. I take pictures, make sure I get those pictures. And then I go and I'll meet the people who are there. And if there's somebody, some celebrities, I'll take pictures with them, some selfies, right? And I promote all that stuff, hashtag it. And then slowly but surely, I work my way toward the door and I leave. And this is how you leave a party. You just leave. You don't announce that you're leaving. Just leave. Because if you announce it, this is what it is. Hang out long enough for people to like you, but not so long to where they get too familiar with you, and because familiarity breeds contempt, right? Hang out long enough for them to like you, but not long enough for them to hate you. So by the time they look up, they go like, yeah, Stevie Mac was here. He was right over there. Where'd he go?
So in other words, you don't need to be doing this. Bum, ba, da, da, attention party.
Hell
Stevie
no,
Mac is leaving the building.
Just ease away and just leave. And I leave early so I have enough time to get home, beat the traffic, and watch TV when I get home, do what I want to do, and not be sitting around or trying to hang out and be something that I'm not. This is the thing. This is why a lot of people get sad in the entertainment business. You see a lot of people crash and burn. And this is life period setting. It's like we all want to be and do something, and we see it on the internet, we see it on TV, an image or material things that we want. And then what happens is when you get those things, if you achieve those things, you suddenly realize there's still an empty space inside of you. There's still a hole inside of you that needs to be filled. There's a void. And you realize that stuff and those people aren't what's going to fill that hole. That's why you need God in your life. That's why you need a higher power. That's why you need to be grounded spiritually so that you know where the truth is. The truth is right inside you, you know, and the fulfillment is inside. You got to meditate. You got to exercise. And so that's why when I go to these places or I achieve these things or I get some money, that ain't it. Because just as soon as you get something material or you gain a certain status, guess what? There's another level above that. You start looking up at that going, like, oh, hey, what about that? And then you get that, and there's another level above that. Everything looks better upward, you know? So why can't I be happy right where I'm at with what I have? Because pretty soon we're going to die anyway, right? That's somebody who's 56 talking. When you're young, you don't see that coming. You're like, ah, I'm going to live forever. But, you know, people, this is what we start dying from the time we're born, right? From the time we shot out of the womb, we start getting older, heading toward death. So what happens is people get caught up in so much stuff along this journey, they forget to enjoy the effing journey. And then they die. And then it's like, oh, what was that all about? What? I missed everything because I was so focused on trying to get something that I didn't have. How about enjoying what you got right now and smelling the roses? And it, you know what I'm saying? Because really, it's the journey that is as ultimately as important as the destination. I'm going to say that again. The journey is as ultimately as important as the destination. That's it right there. Because you can get a Rolls Royce. When you pull up at a light, somebody got a Phantom next to you, but for some reason, theirs look better. You see what I'm saying? It's like always going to be somebody better, somebody more handsome, somebody with more money, or something that looks better than yours, and then there you go feeling insecure about what you have. So let's just be secure with what we have. If you're driving a Pinto, shine that Pinto up. Wash it up. Make sure it's running good. I said a Pinto. You know I'm old now. A pinto,
you made me feel old because I'm old enough to understand that joke.
A Pinto. Some of you are like, what's a Pinto? Isn't that a bean? What's an old car?
There was a philosopher who said the best. A very great philosopher. He said, just be thankful for what you got. Remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. That was a great philosophy.
Sunroof top, singing in the thing with a gang clean. Ooh,
yes, Mr. William
you
Devine.
You may not have a car at all. Just remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got.
That song brings back so many memories to me because there was like, so there's this one spot here called Buttons. Buttons, I'm going to cut the check any moment. Anyway. And they have a Sunday brunch. And so, like, we eat the Sunday brunch, and they have, like, during the Sunday brunch, they have, like, a band come through. And so, me and my dad, we're, like, you know, we're enjoying the brunch, but we're also, what goes great with brunch? Mimosas. So we're like, three, four mimosas in. And we're like just really enjoying ourselves. And we were over there. We were singing
that
song with the band and whatnot. Yes, because the band was singing. We were over there singing. Woo-hoo. You know, we were over there really into it. And so when we left from there, yes. We left there, you know, we were talking about the police. We're talking about when you see the police, 10 and 2, 10 and 2, 10 and 2, 10 and 2. Ooh, ooh. So every time I hear that song, I hear because not only we were doing that at the brunch, we were doing the 10 and 2 dance. That no one got the inside joke about what we were doing, but we were doing the 2 and the 10 and 2 days to the song. So, yes, that brings up so many memories.
I get it, player.
But,
so that's what I've been doing, man. I've been doing the TV shows, movies, and commercials. Now, I've been doing commercials more than anything else, but moving into 2020, my theatrical agent is changing, and I'm going to focus a lot more on movies and TV shows. So a lot's happening, a lot's changing, and it's in a good way. At the same time, I'm enjoying life. I go bowling once a month. I go cycling. I go golf once a month with my wife. She's a professional golfer. I say professional, but she's really like, my wife golfs with the T-Divas, and another group of women, I forget the name, Ladies on Point or something like that, but they golf all over the world. We went to Hawaii last year to golf, and we stayed in Hawaii a week. So next year we're going to Portugal, and while we're in Portugal golfing, we're going to take an excursion. We're going to go to Morocco, Spain, go to Paris, and then London. So we're going to do the whole European-African tour while we're over there.
Nice.
So that's going to be, you know. And you know what? These are the things you get to do when you just slow your roll and try to enjoy the journey. You know, enjoy the journey. That's all I can tell people because pretty soon it'll be over. You know, and this is the thing about, I told you this before, Teddy. Oh, here we go, Teddy again. I said this before that, damn, you know what happened? Deja vu just happened. This is crazy, dude.
You're like, dude.
No, I'm sitting here in my kitchen baking cookies, right? And telling
what's
you
in
all
those
this
cookies?
Stuff. No, I ain't even baked them yet. I'm baking them. I'm getting ready to bake them. And what happened was, as I was telling you what I was telling you, I just had a moment of deja vu, like all this happened before. And life is a trip. Don't let me get on a spiritual rant here, because I can tell you a whole bunch of stuff about how we time travel when we sleep and all different kinds of stuff, man. How spiritual stuff, you know, that I've experienced. But anyway, this is what I was going to tell you. Thank God I came back to that point. Life is like this. It's like me giving you a bunch of money and putting it in your pocket and you're not seeing how much it is, right? I just stuff a lot of money in your pocket. And then I say, okay, when you finish spending all that, you're gonna die. And then you go, well, how much it is? Yeah, I can't tell you that. But when you run out of it, you're gonna die. So how would you spend that money? Probably very,
right,
very slowly and very wisely. You probably invest some of it, huh? To try to make more.
It depends.
Right?
I got to stay away from the strip club because they'll all disappear quickly.
You'll die that night. So anyway, that's what life was like. Life was like that. Because look, you come into this world, right? You get time. But you don't know how much you got. And when you run out of it, you're going to die. So how are you spending that time? It's good to spend that time wisely, invest that time. Although, you can't get more time by investing, but what you can do is take care of your health, and that will lengthen your time. So it will extend your time, take care of your health. But shit, you know, at the same time, you could be the healthiest man in the world, go right out and get hit by a bus. So it doesn't matter, right? It's like, so you just do the best you can do and enjoy every day. Every day is a gift. So, man.
That being said, man, as you're ready to come to close, because I was like, you know what? Y'all know how I do in the show. But what I always tell you, lovely listeners, I would tell you, sometimes I tell you I'm going to do something, but things just happen on the fly. How I feel like I just move the spirit. The spirit tells me to do something. I move with the spirit.
That's
so.
Spirit.
Yes, the spirit moves me. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Brother, feels so good. Okay, see, nice. You gotta go, baby, do it. Go away, Rev. Go away.
Is Reverend Phil so good in the house?
Don't call him.
Is
Please
he in
do
the
not
house?
Call him. Because he come, he always want to start up when he come.
I know who will bring him out.
Good.
I know
oh,
who will
no.
bring him out.
Don't you bring
Reverend
no tambourine out. Nothing.
No, Reverend Al will bring him out.
Oh, no.
Let me go get Reverend Al. Hey, Reverend Al. Come over here and talk to Seti's friend, Reverend Fields. All
right. Okay. So thank you very much. I'd like to come on the show, first of all, to thank Stevie Mac for inviting me to the Seti J show, Seti J's Life After Dusk. What kind of dust y'all smoking over there? Is it that dust of the PCP kind of dust? Angel dust? Or is it Life After Dusk Till Dawn, like in a Quentin Tarantino movie? I don't know what it is, but I heard you got Reverend Fields. Let me hear him talk.
Hello, brother. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Yes, they call me Reverend Fields so good because everything I do feels so good. It's like how I was born.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know you're talking to a
man, right?
Well, it just depends on how the spirit moves you, brother. Sometimes. You know, if God tells me to touch a brother, I touch a brother. If he tells me to touch a mother, I touch a mother. If he tells me to touch another, you catch my point now, don't you, brother?
Hell to the nizzle. I don't get nothing you talking about. Touching a brother,
well,
a mother, or other.
Let me give you, since you're not listening to me, let me give you just a little bit of scripture from the good book of 21 Savage. It goes like this, my brother. It's how much money you got? A lot. See what you were just talking about, brother. There was the brother Stephen Mack over there. He was giving a good word. He was talking about money you got in your pocket. And you know, you don't know how much money you got. You just know you got a lot. And so it's a lot. You know, because when you think of money, how many problems you got?
A lot.
Okay, you catch me. How many people didn't doubt you? Lie. Okay, brother. I know you feel me, Reverend Al. I know you're feeling me. So basically, what I was getting from brother Stephen Mack over there, he was telling me that money is a day at a time. So every dollar I spend is an extra day. So that's why Reverend Feel So Good stays away from the scriptures, because the scriptures, they take your days away. So every time you make it rain.
Did you say the scrippers?
Scrippers.
When they serve shrimp. They serve shrimp with them scrippers.
what happens is people come with strippers is because by day they work at Popeye's Chicken and by night they work at the strip club.
No, them strippers is across the street serving them scrimps.
There you go. Yes, you know, they give you there's some of that stuff for your congestion and all that good stuff, brother.
Little man, you're talking about cocaine.
Oh, no. I don't do that anymore, Reverend. I stay away from the cocaine. The nose pen is the white girl, the booger sugar, as they call it.
The booger sugar.
The devil's lettuce. I stay away from that, too.
The devil's lettuce?
You know, what the kids call weed, marijuana, you know, cannabis.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to get before I let you go, Reverend, I want you to pray over somebody. For about this brother up here, you know him from a long time ago. Let me get him. Tyrone, come here, Tyrone. Hello, Reverend Al. How you doing, Reverend Al?
Reverend Al, doing fine.
So I see you. You are blessed and highly favored, Reverend Al. I know God got you up looking all silky and smooth.
Yeah, you sound like you on that booty sugar.
No, I'm just on that booty sugar.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You sound like when you fall into a crevice, you get something stuck in your ass.
Oh, you're talking about that joke that Silly Teddy J was talking about earlier. He said, when you get stuck in a rut, you get kind of stuck in your butt. Hey.
Yeah, you must have taught him that one right there.
you know, they say reach one, teach one. You know they say. Mm-hmm. Don't you be playing with me now, Reverend. Don't be teasing me.
I'm going to put Stevie Mac back on the phone. Man, give me that phone, man. Man, what y'all over here talking about, man?
I'm nothing, Stevie. I miss you. Well, remember...
Is
it Tyrone? Remember when I came on your show?
Oh,
and Ed was so scared of me. Why was Ed so scared of me?
It's funny you remember that. But Ed was so homophobic, wasn't he?
Yes, he was like, oh my God. I was like, hello, and he was like, oh, dude, I got you off the show, man. I got to get off the show.
He started using the F word. He started using the gay slur, F word. Man, that's an F. Get that F off this show. I was like, man, we got to be nice.
You know what made me so mad? Because he used that F word, but what I really want him to do was use the other F word. Hey!
Man, put Teddy J back on the phone. You didn't
hold on, okay. Teddy, DB doesn't want to talk to me anymore. He wants to talk to the straight guy for some reason. What's up, Stevie?
It got wild and loose.
Yeah, they crazy, man. They are some crazy, crazy people. I'm just glad that Phil from accounting did not come on. Phil from accounting, I'm not letting him come on because he's weird. He's a sexual harassment scandal waiting to happen, so he's nowhere near this. I'm sending him away. Yeah, there's all kind of people. Yes, Mr. Wayne, he's interesting too. But Mr. Wayne, doing Uber Eats, delivering some Chinese food right now, so he won't be on either.
That's funny.
But man, I tell you this, man. I really, again, as a Gary Culture Close, I appreciate you for all the time that you don't know you. Like, a lot of times I always dub you as a, like, man, that's like I call you my industry uncle. It's because you like that uncle that's like funny as hell, but you also give a lot of good wisdom. And you've always treated me like, you know, I was part of your family. And I appreciate that so much. Like, you can be like so many people because I'm a younger person. You can shoot me to the side. And go, oh, that little young buck don't know nothing. But you always gave me a chance, and you always were willing to teach me and support me. And sometimes you don't realize your support is done by just doing you. Because when I watch you do great, when you're being great, it makes me feel like, man, like the teacher that I learned from, that it just shows the accolades of how powerful they are. Y'all watch this guy. This is what I learned from. Watch how he just continues to grow. This is what I learned from. So I appreciate it.
Hopefully
so
next
much.
Time I come back, we'll be talking about my TV show, you know? That's how God works.
Speak it to existence.
Seriously.
Speak it in there.
Yes, sir.
And
hey,
then, yes,
so you ain't
going
to believe this. Before we go, you ain't going to believe this. Let me. You know, the Ed, I actually went to Vegas and met him.
Wow. How was he meeting in person?
You ain't going to believe this. The Ed is a white dude.
Wow. Get the heck out of here.
Don't put that out there, man, because that's our little secret. But he is like, I'm at Caesar's Palace waiting for the Ed to show up. I'm expecting somebody to look like Fred Sanford, right? And so this guy's coming toward me in a tracksuit going, yeah, that's me coming toward you. I'm the Ed. I go, well, you behind the white guy? But check this out.
So,
I mean,
you were looking for Fred Sanford, but you ended up with Archie Bunker.
Yeah, check out how cool this dude is, man. Like when I was shooting my crime scenes TV show in Vegas, he hooked it up with the Johnny Toko's boxing gym. He hooked that up. He put me up in Caesar's Palace the next time I went there. He's a big time Vegas gambler, man. Some casinos don't even let him in the casino. That's how big he is. And he put me up in Caesar's Palace. We shot the episode there, and I stayed at Caesar's Palace. And this dude takes me to the most expensive restaurants over there. That's how cool he is, man. So anytime I go to Vegas, I'll just call him and say, hey, man, I'm on my way to Vegas. He say, hit me when you get here. That's how cool he is.
Yeah,
you never know.
And that's the thing. Like, I would say this. That's why I tell people about social media. That's why it's so important to leverage social media. Because when you go to these different areas, like,
man,
it makes it that much easier. Like, it's like, I went to, I mean, it's crazy. I went to New York back in March. Yes.
You did.
And the love they showed me in New York, man. Like, you would swear, like, I was a celebrity, which we're all celebrities. That's the point of this show. Is we're all stars. It's just a matter of when, how big our star is. You know? DJ. So, this one girl, I went to, they had like a whole meet and greet for me and everything. I was like, what?
Wow.
Crazy. What? Oh my God, the women that were at that meeting group.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Man. So, yes, and this one girl, she told me, she was like, I got on a 2-hour bus ride just to come meet you because I was not going to miss the opportunity. And I was like, wow.
And that's the one he slept with, folks.
You know what? That wasn't the one I slept with. It was the one that only spent five. It was the one that spent 5 minutes up the street to come meet me. Is what I slept with.
I live right upstairs.
After we had to run from a few rats, then that happened. Yeah.
And didn't you and your dad do South by Southwest as well?
Yes. Oh man, that was crazy. South by Southwest, and we stayed in this house. Yeah, okay, because I made this this is a quick story here about Airbnb. You were talking about Airbnb. Sometimes you stay in Airbnbs, you never know where you're gonna be in. Like, this house was really nice,
right.
But it was really weird because in the house there were like pictures around of the family whose house it belonged to. So I'm looking around and there's pictures of kids on the wall and of the family. And it felt like they were, like, just watching you and judging you, like, oh, my God, don't do anything crazy. And this house was, this was a big house. The crazy thing was I ended up staying in the room where I guess the older daughter, she was probably about eight. I ended up having to stay in her room. They had a sleeping bag in
there. Everywhere.
Oh my God! There were crayon pictures all over the place.
Oh,
I'm like, what in the world is going on?
You felt like you was in a scary movie, huh?
Yes, I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
Yeah,
I thought it was like Children of the Corn.
Yes, Mister. Don't make any funny moves.
Like, I'm like, oh no, I gotta get out of here. I was like, oh, these have to put me to sleep quickly. So took a couple shots on 6th Street. Out of
this. last but not least, I'm going to say this. One of the main things to remember also, since we were talking about this, is to stay humble, right? No matter how you blow up, you might see Stevie Mac on a regular TV show nightly, up on billboards, and everything. Somebody recently told me this, because, you could think less of yourself, right, as a celebrity. And somebody said, Stevie, say, man, you are doing a lot better than you think you are. I was like, I am? He's like, yeah, you are bigger than you think. And I was like, okay, but so, because we don't see ourselves, But
exactly.
I know if I get a show like Blackish, something like that, that's what's really big to me. But here's the thing. I do get something like that, Modern Family. It's like, have to stay humble, man. Be yourself and don't lose your cotton picking mind because you got it like that, right? And don't treat people like they're little. That's it.
Wait, hold on. Question. I got a question that lasts for it.
Okay.
When if they are under 4 feet, do you treat them like they're little then?
No, you treat them like regular people because, you're going to have to look down at them, right? Unless you put them up on a table or something.
I mean, if Peter Dinklage comes up to me, it's going to be really hard not to look at him, not to belittle him. It's going to be very hard.
But think of this. As small as he is, look how large he is.
Yeah, I know.
Peter
His defense, he was large in the Avengers Endgame.
He's big on Game of Thrones. Peter Dinklage is a giant in the industry. He's an A-lister. He's a little dude commanding big bucks, and he gets lead man roles. They don't cast him as a midget or a dwarf, except for Game of Thrones, but even then he was a king, so it's like they cast him.
Yeah,
like
he's really good at making. I think he's one of the, I'll tell you why he's probably one of the best, why he's probably one of the best little people, is because, like you say, he does so good at his job. He makes you forget that he's little. Like, a lot of people, like, they make all these punchlines with them being little. He does, the way he acts, you forget that he's little.
His personality is larger than his stature.
I joke, but he's like, it's a lot of people. I love seeing people who do that, like, being... be outside of your stereotyping, make people, see you as much more. So, Stevie, before we go, I would be remiss if we did not let you do a few things. One, let everybody know how they can follow you, or as we, how we say in the show, Stevie, we say how they can stalk you. Where can people stalk you?
StevieMac.com, first of all, StevieMac, StevieMac.com, and there you will find all my social media links. I'm on Instagram at Stevie Mac and the number one, so Stevie Mac one. On Twitter at Comic Stevie Mac, and it's always MACK. And I'm the same across all social media platforms, Facebook, Comedian Stevie Mack. There you have it. And any other place you want to find me, go to my website, steviemack.com, and you'll find my tour dates, everything, what I got coming up. There it is. And you can also take my comedy guru class. And if you're not in L.A., you can buy the book. I have the book, How to Become a Hollywood Comedian. How to Become a Hollywood Comedian. I can mail that to you.
Oh, definitely. Awesome. So can people purchase it online as well from your page?
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm going to put that up as soon as we hang up.
I would definitely refer to it because people always ask me all the time about, like, you know, any good books from industry people, you know, that I would definitely be recommending it.
Well, I would definitely put that up because I've only been giving it to my students at the Comedy Guru class. They all get a book and they get certified to get a certificate. But I'm going to put that book out for sale. Anybody can get that book, you know. $10, you can get that book. I think my wife told me I should charge $15. Here, we're gonna set the price right here on SETI J. So how much should the book go for, SETI?
We're talking about, you've been to over 44 commercials just alone. That alone is about is $10 alone. Then you add the extra value. I'm gonna say $12.99.
Okay, so $15 it is. Because I'm
asking. Yeah, well, that's how you do that.
$12.99 is $13. I'm gonna spend $2 to mail it to you. So
exactly.
There we go. Thank you, SETI J. We've set a price. There it is.
You said, there we go. Let's make a deal.
And I want to tell all your fans out there, I've done over 20 movies, about 17 TV shows, 44 commercials, lots of stage and music videos and other stuff in between. And if, nobody told you they love you, I love you.
Okay, there's other few things I wanted to actually do before we get ready to part one. You got to give me two famous phrases. One is the whoop. You got to give me the whoop. You got to give it to me. I've been waiting for that all week.
You want the whoop whoop to the whoop whoop, yeah?
Yeah.
Even
and then you know the other one is
the
infamous way you always end your shows. What is the way you end every show?
The world is listening.
Yes. Yes.
Brother Malcolm.
Oh, reminds everybody. You can listen to the show. Y'all can catch this episode of the show on, of course, Blog Talk Radio. But it also is on Stitcher. It's on the TuneIn app. It's on the Apple Podcast. And as of 2 weeks ago, it's on iHeartRadio. It's on iHeartRadio now, people. So there is no way you can't catch the show because it is pretty much every major platform is in your face. So there you go. Catch us. And it also, y'all going to be in every show reminding you everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember where there's a J or there's a U, there is a way. Y'all tuned in to the episode of Life That Does Live. Your boy, SETI J. Thank you to my special guest, Stevie Mack. And I cannot end the show by telling y'all this. My public service announcement for every Wednesday, a.k.a. Hump Day. If you're going to hump somebody, please do it responsibly.
All right. I like that.
Peace. Peace.